Beis Hashem, we're going to go into the one by one, the Shlashisri Ikrim. Before we go, we cover the first two, but before we go into the third, I'm just going to recite in Kisa the first and the second because it's a Shaykhus to the third. The first Animamin is Shu'le Vadoi Oise, but also we ask Chalma, he does everything. It means to say, what we explained, the difference of our Amunah and the rest of the world, they have to believe God created the world. Bereshis Bora Elohim, he had created it, and he created the world of 6,000 years. And we believe that Hashem is Machadosh B'chol Yom Tomid Ma'ase Bereshis. Hashem is recreating the world continuously. It's always a new creation. The Bereshis is being rejuvenated every split second. And because of this, we know, because we saw, you have me shown to know, not to believe. The fact Hashem created the world, so Hashem opened up his eyes and he sees a beautiful world, and Hashem tells you, this is my creation, I did it the first day, this, and second day, this, and third day, this. He had to believe. He wasn't there, he didn't witness it. So he believed. Adam was a believer, he wasn't a knower. And therefore he was responsible as a child knows the father is a father, as we explained yesterday. But when Hashem destroyed that world which he created, totally destroyed it by the Sorah Makas. The Ten Makas totally neutralized the natural world which was created with the Sorah Mamores. And Am Yisrael saw the world in shambles. Hashem took every component of nature in, as he said, the Sitrasket. He simply shattered them. That was the Sorah Makas, the whole week. Just ground them up. And the world was Toile Eretz Al Blimo. Now the world stands on nothing. What is the world standing? Because Hashem wants it. Hashem wants it. He recreates it right now. The Bereshit, which took place originally, which that made the whole world, brought the whole world into existence, that Rotson of Bereshit has to be implemented, rejuvenated every split second. That is which we daven every morning before we say Shema, which is the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, which is the second Animamin. We recite this pasuk Shemachadesh b'chol yoim tomid ma'aseh Bereshit. Every day, a whole day, every second is in existence because Kadosh Baruch Hu has to rejuvenate the whole creation from scratch. Now that we know, because we witnessed it, Yad Yisrael Yisrael Gadosh Oso Hashem Yisrael, we had seen what Hashem had done. So now that brings us to the second animal. Hashem is one, as we explained it yesterday. That's the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, Hashem Echad. That means to say that in every split, Eloch Odom She'elo Mokom, Eloch Odom She'elo Sho. There isn't a man who, with any place where you are, no matter which circumstance you are, you could be in the gas chambers in Auschwitz and you could be in the most happiest situation. You could be at a funeral, you could be at a wedding. You could be in the most tragic moments, you could be in the most happy moments. You could be in any times, any history, any style, no matter where you are. That you haven't got the Adam, there is the Bria. As we explained, as Hashem hands you a cup of water from heaven, the cup has a goal no less than the water. Hashem wouldn't create a miraculous cup just to throw him in garbage. You drank your water, throw it away. In other words, Hashem's production could never be only a means to a goal, and when it accomplishes the goal, you take the production, throw them away. What Hashem does has an endless, eternal, nitzchias digger value. And therefore, you have to be mekabel oil malchus shemayim, you have to take on the yoke of heaven and the responsibilities of life on any given situation that you live. No matter under what circumstances you are, you have to take it up. That's Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. Hashem is not his one, Hashem is a whole. And anything you spin up, it's a whole in himself. As we call it in scientific language, it's a hologram. Every split second, as that's explained in the mitzvah of the second animamen of Yichud Hashem, that you make a oneness in every situation, in every location, in every experience which you have, and this is called Yesh Koina Oiloma V'Sho Echad. You could take any split second of your life, no matter which split second it is, and you could make it. This was all worth it for this split second. Everything was meant for this split second. Just the Chagav, give a glubi chalamoid, a beautiful moshul of Remendel Weinbach. Shishivan of Arsemech in Yerushalayim. He said the pasuk says, "Vishnei Chai Sora." Those are the lifetime of Sora, Meir Shonim, Esrim Shonim, Sheva Shonim, 100 years, 20 years, 7 years. Shnei Chai Sora. Those are the years of the life of Sora. So he repeats himself again. Sukt Rashi, what is the second time? What is the repetition seven times? Hishne Chai, so this is this and this and that. Shne Chai, so repeats the second time. What is the second time to repeat? Sukt Rashi, Kulam Shovim L'Toyda. All of them were equally good. In the town, 20 of them were equally good. Now here comes the question. We know Soleimani didn't have the, she had a rough time. First of all, she was barren until the age of 90. She didn't have children. Second, we also know that she was captured by Avimelech, she was captured by Paro, and she had Tzuras of Yishmoel. She went through a lot and a lot. The Torah is full of what she went through in suffering. And she died young, 127, by the Caliph in Yitzchak. How could the Torah be Kulam Shovim L'Toyda? How could it be all equally good? When we know what she went through in life. So Rabbi Weinbach heard it from me many years ago, 20 years ago. He said the Moshe of science fiction, or the fiction science or science fiction? Science fiction invented a certain machine, a certain stopper. And if you could manage to get a handle on that stopper, and you could wait for your happiest moment in life, but you're willing to settle and to stay for the rest of it, you want to wait for that happiest moment in life, you push that button and you freeze it, and that's the way you're going to be. You're fixed, you're guaranteed, you know. You're guaranteed. Now, who wouldn't want to have this opportunity? So people go out and getting this device, and they're going to go around and over the finger waiting for on the button, ready to push every time they're ready to settle. So will anyone ever push that button? Will anyone ever push the button? Nobody ever pushed the button. Whatever I want, when I got it, it's not so great. It's something you're never satisfied. You know, people walk around lifetime, never push the button. They will never settle for anything which they have. That's human nature. Soleimani, that's what the Torah wants to say. Soleimani, if we would have given that device to Soleimani, she would push the button for every given moment she's living. When she was captured, when she was suffering, when she was childless, when she was the baby. Because she knows what the quality of life is. Aberabe, when we think, when we really run away from, we don't want that moment. The most painful moments, those are the most worthy moments. Those are the most productive moments. Because lefum tzare agra, according to the pain of life, is the reward of life. We live it as, because, now, how, why? Because I know Hashem is making this moment. And if Hashem makes this moment, obviously, you want something from me. And that's my life. I'm yachad as Hashem. I'm unifying Hashem's name in this situation. And therefore, every tragic situation which you go through, everything, what is the natural Jewish reaction? I don't know. We in the Holocaust remember that Shema Yisrael, they're all screaming Shema Yisrael, a person dying, excellent, Shema Yisrael, Miyachad Hashem on this occasion. And what is the result when you did it? When you Miyachad Hashem on this occasion, you say, Ahavta Hashem Elokeichol. That's the result. You're going to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chol Lebavcho with both of your hearts, good and bad, even takes your life away. Chol Medech, no matter what it is. Why? Because Aberabe, as Rabbi Kiva said, the harder this moment is, and if it's coming from you, Hashem, and I know this is much greater reward, it's a much greater, because we have to know, it's a big klal in the mystical works, in the Kadmoinim, Surim HaKadmoinim. Wherever the Hester is bigger, the Elokus is greater. Wherever the hiding is great, the Hester Ponim, when we don't see a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there is Elokus much more there. Much more Elokus. Let me give you food for thought. I'm not going to explain myself. Imagine you walk into the Beis HaMikdash in the time when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. You have the biggest karim, you see Nevu, you see Kodesh Baruch, you see Nisim, you see miracles. You Meyachad HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Gilu Shechino, Shema Yisrael Hashem Hashem Echad. You see Kriyas Yamsuf. You see Kriyas Yamsuf. You see Gilu Shechino. And you say Hashem is one, Hashem is everything, Hashem is a whole. I recognize, I acknowledge it. But you acknowledge Hashem, it's all right, because Hashem showed himself. Or you see a person walking into the guest chamber with his family, and they know soon they're going to die. And they say, Shema Yisrael, and stand you, Hashem Elokei, Hashem is my God, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, Hashem is here, Hashem makes it. And I'm one with Hashem, and I love Hashem, and I'm accepting it. You made a Yichud Hashem. So there's two Yichud. You make a Yichud in Beis HaMikdash. You make a Yichud that creates something, when Hashem shows himself. When you're going to die, when you're closing your eyes, and you don't understand what Hashem is doing, which Yichud is greater? Which is a great accomplishment for your end, that you acknowledge Hashem? In the guest chambers or in the Beis HaMikdash? In the guest chambers. And therefore, that's what we say. We have to imagine, that's the halacha when we say Shema, when we come to Yichud Hashem. If the halacha pshuta, the simple halacha, bring down Shulchan Aruch, you have to imagine, as a big bonfire in front of you, and you're being told, bow down to this idol, reject the Kodesh Baruch, if not, we're going to throw him to the fire furnace. And says, throw him into the fire furnace. And I love you, Hashem. You have to imagine as you're burning up. Now, Rabbi Akiva lived a lifetime. Every time he said Shema, he imagined it. All of a sudden, the situation came up, and he's being burned alive, he's being stripped to pieces alive. And the people said, the Talmidim said, Rabbi, this is what you deserve? He said, what are you talking about? All my life I was working for this moment. All my life I was prepared. And this is actually our job. We have to be prepared for such occasions. A Jew who hits them a tragic surprise, and we all got hit tragic surprises here and there, and he loses his mind for one split second, means he was not miyachad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's all shmas. We are soldiers in the battlefield. We always, that's what the Rebbe Akiva said, kol yoma hits te'art, I was always, when will I really be able to demonstrate this mitzvah which I'm expressing all my life? So when the situation comes up, you're there. You're not losing your mind. That's the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. Then comes the question, if you really, now comes the question, granted, I know you live for a life, and you could say, for any, you know, the right way of doing it, I'll tell it in a very practical way. We sit here in the room, a group of people, one thing which you're all going to share in common, none of them going to avoid it, what is it? One experience you're all going to share without any question. Death. What is it? Death. Leaving the world. Right? What are we doing now? We are preparing for those moments. We have a lifetime preparation for the departure or for the birth. Let us remember that you're going to die. And that's the name of the game. The whole name of the game is you always have to remember we are here temporary, we are here for a reason to prepare to accomplish our birth, which is the final amuna. And the way they put you down in the grave, that's the way you're going to get up. You go to your tzaddik, you get up a tzaddik, a rosh, you get up a rosh, or damage, you get up damage. We're going to get there, we're going to discuss it. So, the truth of the matter is we have a lifetime homework, a lifetime preparation for the moment that we die. So we shouldn't be petrified when the moment comes. We have to be always ready. Let me illustrate them to you in a life anecdote. I had a situation, mother calls me up that she has a daughter, 16 years old, and she developed a phobia that in, how do you call it, a fear of being with a lot of people that she's dying. Every time she was in assembly, she was a lot of people, every time she was with a lot of people, she started all of a sudden getting panic attacks, and she was dying, she couldn't rest the air. I took her many times to the hospital, and says, well, it's a psychological phobia, so what are you doing with this kid? What are you going to do with this kid? You have to go to a psychiatrist, you have to take medication. As the mother, only two things. She's smart, she can understand what you're talking to, she's very smart, very clever. Is she Yerushimayim? Is she respecting Torah, the truth? Yes, absolutely. She's a choshev person. She said, come with her. We made an appointment, she came with her daughter. And he said, what's your problem? He said, what should I do? I really, literally feel I'm dying. I'm choking, I don't get air, I start sweating, I get a panic attack. It's really, she got all the symptoms of whatever. She had a phobia. Right? So, I'm not going to give what psychology does. So I said to her, so what do you do when you die? You feel really dying, you swear to that, you're sweating because you're dying. Get prepared, get ready. You feel you die. Say, get ready. Say, Hashem, thank you that you let me live for 16 years. I was healthy till now, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to meet you, and I'm going to give back my neshama because you want it back, and I'm doing tshuva, and I'm doing this, and I'm asking forgiveness, and I'm asking forgiveness for you, and same thing you do. If you really have an experience of going to die, you're a religious girl, you know the fact, you know the truth, you're going to get up in Chiyus HaMeisim, you have to be ready for it. So I said, what does a person do when he dies? You prepare. You say video, say everything, get ready, that's what you do. So, why are you fighting it? If you really believe that the Malach wants that to snap you in the Shoma, so you're not going to get strong, you're not stronger from him. If you really feel you're dying, die like a Jew dies. Be ready with Yeshua does. Be thankful, I think, and straighten your thing on that. And she says to me, but you don't want to die? I says, they don't ask you. What do you fear? They don't ask you. You want, of course. If the Baruch was as polite as, do you want to die? So of course I don't want, but he's taking you. He's taking you. You might as well die like a Jew dies. Don't panic. If you panic, then you die like a chicken. Like a cow, you know, die. Get ready. So I hear, so you don't have to be afraid of dying. Everyone's going to die, we're all going to die. We're only afraid how will we die, under what circumstances we will die, how will we be prepared. And we have a lifetime job to prepare. So you get fears, you get a fear. So the minute you get a fear, get working, get ready to die. Say, Mom, prepare my tachricha, my nedev, say goodbye. Say, the minute you got a fear, and she accepted it. And I prepared her, I said, that's what it's called, reverse, the name. Anyway, she did it once, twice, three, four, five times. And it's how I got sick and tired of her. He lost out every time he died. You have to get ready for that. That's called Yaskar Lemisa. And this is, now that means you are willing to settle for any given situation. And this is the person why I came into life. Yesh koin over shoech, because you came for this moment. And thank God Hashem gave you back the life. It's a mazel tov, you got a new life. And that is Yichud Hashem. We live and we die and we live and we die every split second. It is worthwhile. The question is, why? Why is Hashem doing all these things? And then comes the third animamin. Hashem is not a body, a matter. We're never going to understand the Elohim Dimakam. There's no comparison. Now, simple terms, we don't have any impressions about God, don't make images about God. That's the Poshup Shataka. But it's beyond that. We learned, we said already yesterday, the purpose of the Shloshim Sirikim is that you have to read them and live them continuously, relevantly to you. I have no problem that I must have imagination about God. I don't need a picture of God in my room. I don't need a symbol. I don't need the statues. None of us have this problem. All the religions do have their images. And I don't need if I believe in Hashem and everything, why does it say Iker? If you made a picture, you made a simple thing, why is it the Iker at this moment? Shabbos is also is more important. It's not the Iker. But the Zohar is not the Iker. Avodah Zohar is not the Iker. If you worship Avodah Zohar because you're going to get a certain benefit from him now, it has a terrible Aveira, terrible Avodah Zohar, you skill it. But it's not of the Ikrim. But don't have any imagination about God. Understand the Shlomo saying, why is that the Iker for me this moment? The answer is, in order to be at peace, that you should be able to be Miyachad as Hashem, to unify with Hashem at this most tragic moment that you don't understand. You have to understand what Hashem is doing. You could never understand, and you have to trust Him. Because most of us, we all want to know why and what. If I would only know what's going to come out of it, I could take it better. Right? We all say this. That's stupidity. How do you want to know? You want to understand Hashem's business? As I said yesterday, my life is a movie. It's not one message. Every split second is the climax. Every split second is the punchline of the movie. In other words, every factor which happens in the world is complementing this moment that I'm living. And this moment is the accomplishment of life. And you, with your limited mind, you want to understand. You will never understand. So therefore, when you understand this, you don't let yourself being for a moment carried away in devastation because my mind stopped. This is beyond anything which could comprehend. Because everything is beyond comprehension. What we do understand, we don't understand either. We think that we understand. In other words, Hashem's... I made a foolish moshul. Like, I think I don't know if I mentioned it here, but I mentioned it other place. You take the easiest mitzvah that you could do. The easiest mitzvah that you could do. Hashem wants mitzvahs. Hashem can show mitzvah with tzivonu. And you know, whatever we do here, the printout is there. It's in Olam Habo, it's in Chiyas HaMeisim. And let's say Hashem, please, he says, Chal mitzvah hal meleket. There's no reward for mitzvah in this world. Means this world cannot express the world, the entire world, from Bereishis Bore Elokim till Mashiach, cannot express the reward and the accomplishment and the achievements for the slightest mitzvah which a person does. So let's take the most easiest, slightest mitzvah. You said, Omen. Your little child drank milk and said, Shahakon yimitvor. You said, Omen. What did you invest in that mitzvah? So let's say you could email to Hashem and say, Hashem, please, would you answer me? Can you answer me? What will that Omen do? What did Omen give you? And Hashem answers you. He says, you have to change your monitor on the computer because it's too small to be expressed. I can't express it, Alex. So you change it to a bigger monitor. The answer comes back, it's still too small. It changed to a bigger monitor, it's still too small. You change the billboard, it's still too small. If you take a monitor which is the entire world, and it takes 6,000 years operation, cannot express what you had done when you said, oh, man. Do you believe this? You better believe it, because that's Judaism. That's the animami. That's the animami. That's Hashem's production. Hashem says, validate me, say amen, it's a mitzvah, it's my command. What is it giving me? You want to understand? That's what the animami is. When we speak about that Hashem is every split second rejuvenating the world, every split second making the world, and whatever he does has a wholeness in it, an absolute wholeness. How can you for a split second, most people know why people suffer and which people are mostly depressed? People who are arrogant in nature.
What?
Arrogant.
Arrogant.
People have big ego, they're arrogant in nature, and they have to acknowledge, they have to approve. Life has to be approved. Everything has to be approved. Approval. And something happens to you which you don't like, you buckle. Cause how do you dare do it to me? Or explain yourself, or cracking down. And you don't understand, Hashem cannot explain himself. We have problems with the issue which Hashem does explain. That's a drop in the ocean. Whatever time and mitzvahs which we have, it's a drop in the ocean what the mitzvah really is. It's beyond us that we could understand, and that goes in the category of the third animami. She ain't a goof, because Bach is not a body, it's not a matter that you could discuss with him. We are goof, you can never, there's no comparison to it. Now, when we think there's no comparison, there's no comparison to God, God who created the whole world. There's no comparison in our imagination about anything which God is doing. About anything which God is doing. So, therefore, when you demand answers, why, that's the biggest chutzpah. Because it means to say, in order that should be worth it for me to accept, I have to understand. He says, no. You could never go on without it unless he does it. That every second has himself a purpose. Let me give you another illustration, a life anecdote. I said it in the morning shir, before Pesach. But it's a very, 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 very brief life. It's a good, very practical to how to prepare to life. You have to be always ready to die. In any given situation, he was a nice, healthy person. He went to a normal, healthy checkup to the doctor, and the blood works, the normal things, cholesterol, this and that and that. And the doctor tells him, "Your PSA is too high. PSA number, prostate. I think you see it in the blood because it's a little bit high, it's elevated." I says, "Come back in 2 months and we take other blood work and see if it doesn't go down. Then it should be looked into." It comes back, it's even higher. So he says, "You go to a neurologist." He went to a neurologist, and the neurologist checked it out. He says, "Listen, this number is when you're coming to elevation with this number, if any of it goes above 4 or 5, it goes from 5 to 10, it's a 25% chance of cancer. And therefore, it doesn't pay to play around with it. I suggest you should take a biopsy test, which is very uncomfortable. They go into the inside and they chip off from the prostate pieces, 6-7 pieces, tissues. It's not comfortable, but it's a safe side to do it. If you want to avoid to do it, could be it's nothing, could be just it's an inflammation. I suggest then you could take it to go for 2 weeks. You should take every day, have our hot bath, sit in a hot bath, and don't stop drinking coffee. And get off caffeine and drink. And then if it goes down, it's a proof. It shows that it's not one inflammation. Then you could save that to go to bed." And this person didn't want to go to this uncomfortable thing. So he went off coffee, cold turkey. So got headaches for a few days. He had a withdrawal addiction. And he's a busy man sitting every day a half hour in the bed of his even harder. But he didn't want to go through this biopsy test. And he made a test and it went down a little bit, but not enough. And he's recommended that he should do it. And then he debated, should I do it or should not? So I told him, "Well, listen, there's a mitzvah that you have to stay healthy. Mashmato nafshasechem." And he got a sign. You had a thing. You have to do it. You have to do it. And people want to be in denial. This is going to be good. And it went down. It didn't went up. It didn't went down enough. Don't you see? It's nothing. So why are you kidding yourself? What is your problem? The problem is uncomfortable. You deserve it. The first thing, you deserve it. You're going to get pain. Okay, there's a kapara savinus. I'm willing to take on the pain because of extra cautious, because of a health reason, the doctor recommends. And let the pain to be a kapara savinus. We sinned in areas we're not supposed to sin. It is a good place to be atoned and to be cleansed. And have in mind, while you're going through these painful things, that Hashem should forgive you, and in doing it, Hashem mitzvah, you want to be healthy. You're accomplishing something. You're accomplishing that you're accepting the Yisurim. And you're accomplishing something that Kapores avoids. You're accomplishing a lot. Now, the hardest thing is from the time they take the test until the results come back. It takes about 2-3 days. So I said to him, now, you have to be prepared, once you made a biopsy test, you have to be prepared for 3 possibilities. And be prepared for all 3 of them. I mean, know, be all ready to react 3 ways how the answer comes. One way, everything is fine. No problem, you're healthy, everything is fine. So how do you react? So thank God. You have to give a Shevach Hodos for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Thank Hashem for that. And thank Hashem for the scare that He gave you. Thank Hashem for the pain you went through. Because this is everything, you didn't lost one thing. Everything in life is considered with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If the answer comes back, everything is fine. The second chance is, you may get an answer, everything is not fine. You have cancer, but we find them in an early stage, and it's treatable. You're going to have to go to chemo, with therapy, everything is painful. You have to be prepared. What? He says, okay, thank you, Hashem, that you gave me early notice, and I'm willing to fight it, I'm willing to work at it, to stay alive, and I'm willing to do everything, and I'm accepting it. You know? And the third possibility is, you may get an answer, it's too late, and in a few weeks you're going to die. It's too late to spread all around, there's nothing could be done. And they say, thank you, Hashem, you gave me the notice, and I'm going to die. And I could prepare to die, like Elohim, like a tzaddik, I could do tshuva, I could do... Everyone is dying, but it's a big, big privilege that you got such an early notice. Right? So from now, when you made the biopsy test, you have to be prepared for all 3 possibilities. Eventually, Baruch Hashem, the test came through, and everything was fine. So then, as far as I'm concerned, you died already as a tzaddik. You were there for 2 years in hospital, going for chemo, and you're gewaldig, you get the kiporis avoidus. He didn't lost anything. Because you are, as we spoke in the first lecture, first year, you are what you want to be. Your option and your choice. That the person is not what is happening. What is happening is not in your hand. What is happening is all done by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Who are you? The way you accept it. So you accept to die. You accept to take on your therapy, of chemo. And that's what you are. You don't have actually to die in order to have the benefit of death. So you went through, you got the benefit that you died for the Shem Shemaim, as the Elohim is supposed to die. You got the benefit that you went to therapy. This is called, we want to ask why? There is not a thing which Hashem does which is not a benefit for our purposes. Now we come to the fourth. The fourth animam is an imam and we know. Yes, go ahead.
It's more of a simple shot. Why do we always associate Hashem with male characteristics?
When we associate Hashem with a male character, it doesn't mean that he has a long white beard, right? I hope you don't mean that. Okay. And the Shekhinah is compared to the to female, it doesn't mean she has a shetel or a tichel. Right? Male and female is always in the characteristic of the mashpia and the nishpa. The male is the giver, the provider, and the female is the receiver. In that sense, Hashem only created for one world because He wants to provide. So therefore He's a male. And we are His partner, our recipients, we are the female. We are the Shekhinah, we can necessarily the Shekhinah, it's the color, the female. So therefore, now Hashem is also sometimes compared to a female characteristics when Hashem wants to receive from us. Then she's the receiver. So usually male means the givers and the female means the receivers. So that's the answer to that. Now, the fourth animamen is animamen Hashem Shabbos Baruch Shemoy, the creator, blessed be His name, who Rishoy. He is the beginner, he's from beginning, where Achron is the end. What is this? What are we talking here? He is that. There's no beginning, Ein Sof. He's Ein Sof. What's who Rishon v'Achron? We explained there was one way how we looked at the world from the creation till Yetzias Mitzrayim. There was a system. Bereishis, Bereishis, Kadosh Baruch Hu created time. There was no way that you could, that humanity could associate to Ein Sof, to endlessly, to eternity. The Tzelem Elohim, what is Tzelem Elohim? Tzelem Elohim, in simple words, means you mirrorizing God. You mirrorizing Hashem, that's a Tzelem Elohim. Hashem Elohim, Shemesh Imogen, says David HaMelech in Tehillim, Shemesh Imogen, the sun and his shield, is Hashem Elohim. What does it mean? Middle of the night, do you see a sun? You don't see a sun. Are you aware there is a sun? No. You could know there is a sun. How can you know there is a sun? You see, look in the moon, because the moon reflects the sun. If there is a moon who reflects the sun, you know there is a sun. If there is a half moon, you only see a half sun. In the middle of the month, you see a full moon, you see a full sun. That means to say, there is the Shemesh, the sun, Imogen, and his mirror, which is the shield, which expresses the sun, so is Hashem Elohim. Hashem means Havaya, existence. We know Hashem. Since it's here, Mitzrayim, that the only existence is Him, there's no, there's nothing outside of Him. That every second He puts into existence. Nothing is existing because He made it a moment ago. It's existing because Hashem makes it right now. That's called Havaya. He is a will and every. He is it. We explained it in the first time in Mami, right? Before that revelation with Yetzias Mitzrayim, nobody knew Hashem in such a way. We knew Elohim. Bereishis Bore Elohim. Elohim is Hashem who created nature. Hashem created 6,000 years. Hashem created the beginning, created the end. The world is 6,000 years. The world has a beginning. Everything has a beginning, has an end. That expression of beginning and end is Elohim. We only knew that we have an Elohim, that we saw and we knew it. Mabul expressed the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but we only saw Kodesh Baruch Hu in nature. Hashem, that Hashem is the ultimate existence in every place that we've been talking about, after this is Mitzrayim, it was believed by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and maybe Noach also, but they never knew it, they never saw it. When was it the first time demonstrated? It was demonstrated with Yetzias Mitzrayim. But Bereishis Bore Elohim, Hashem was not demonstrated at all. So there's two types of Briyas, two types of creation. The first creation, as we explained yesterday, is the theater. The theater is a real, there's a dimension, you could measure it. You could walk up to a theater and take a table and measure it, right? And you measure the table. It's a reality. There's a beginning, there's an end. But when you walk up to a movie, which is a duplicate of the same theater, you want to measure the table, there's no table, there's no measure, there's nothing there. There's only shadow, there's only there. We live today in a movie, we don't live in a theater anymore. So what do we say? So we say, after we validate, and therefore this is in place, and this is in time, and this is in action, and this is in values, this is in goals, in everything that we're talking about, we put everything in stuff, everything is a whole, everything is yichud. But lemaisa, we are aware of Rishon and Achron, there's a beginning. We are now only 5,761 years in creation. We still have to go 239 years. The world comes to an end. So there is a Rishon and Achron. So you see the fourth animami, and they say animami shel shabbos. Who? That same creator which would be originated, the first and the second, which is the first animami, who Rishon Achron? He's in the Rishon Achron. Hashem hu Elohim. Therefore, Yom Kippur, we say, we conclude Yom Kippur seven times, screaming out, Hashem hu Elohim. Elohim, Hashem created the world in 7 days. Shivas Yemei Habinyan. Hashem created the theater, the structure in nature, Asorim Amores, in the 7 days. And that's Elohim. What do we say? Hashem, who Elohim? Hashem is in the Elohim. It's not reality, it's all Hashem. And the 7 days Hashem created, Hashem destroyed it. By therefore, we have 7 days Pesach. It's a recreation. And we say, Hashem, who Elohim? So if we say, Animam Shtar, Shavuot, who Rishon, who Achron? Rishon and Achron is actually contradicting our perception of the world. But there is such a perception because the Noach has to believe in Rishon and Achron. Noach has to believe Bereishis Bore Elohim. The Goy till today always commanded, he's not expressing Hashem, he's expressing Elohim. He's not a mirror, therefore we are called Tzelem Elohim, that we are the real one who expresses. Elohim is the moon. What is the moon expressing? The sun. The sun is Hashem, sun is Havaya. In the Amstrol, the Elohim is that, and with Hashem who Elohim, that we say the Elohim is expressing Hashem. So we have a Tzelem Elohim, we are representing in our Elokus Hashem. And if you say everything with the world validates, there is a reality of a Rishon, an Achron, beginning and end, it's all Hashem, Kishem Hu Elohim. Now we finish with this first four animamins, Derech Agav. The third animamins is Amunah. And we explained it in the beginning, I think the first year. This Amunah is built on three principles. Kudshe V'richo, Reis Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Torah, and Yisrael. Echad, and this is all one. In other words, the structure of everything which we believe in is always divided in these three. And this, by the way, is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Atzloshe, Advarim, Oilem, Oimed, on three pillars the world stands. Torah, Vavoydik, Gilus, Chosodim, Torah is Torah, Vavoydik, Kudshe V'richo, Gilus, Chosodim, is Yisrael. And the Shloshe Tzadikim is also divided in this three concepts. The first four speaks about Kudshe V'richo, which is Dalet. Dalet is four. The next eight which you're going to learn is the Yachas, the relation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Tefillah, Torah, Nevuah, Schar V'Oinesh, Mashiach. That's the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The next eight, that's Torah. And the last one, Yisrael, is the 13th, Chiyas HaMeisim. Who am I? One who lives forever. And that's Echad. Just for reference purposes, the Echad is Aleph, Ches, Dalet, 1, 8, 4. The Shloshe Tzadikim is also divided in these three sections. The first four we covered Kudshe V'richo. The next eight we covered Torah. And then in the Aleph, the last one, the 13th, is Chiyas HaMeisim. So we're going in now to the first of Torah. And Imam Ben Shlosh Shabbat is Vodah Shemoy. Believe if you believe. Now the Nusach and the Siddur is, which is not exactly expressing what the Rambam meant to say. Shaloi levada roilis, only to Hashem is word is appropriate to pray. The El is los roilis par, nobody else you pray. Simply, translation means the Salos, that you could ask anything and everything from Hashem, but not for nobody else. Only from Hashem and for nobody else. That's Poshup Shat. Now, the other Pshat is also simply that where did mankind go wrong in the Me Enosh, as the Rambam explains, they started worshipping idols. They didn't all of a sudden decide there's no God and they could. When they made the eagle the golden calf, no, for not one moment, Ela Lehecha, so this is your God to took out of Mitzrayim. No way, they weren't so stupid. Who they saw Kodesh Bochum, Krisyam, Sumamut, Arsina, 40 days later in the golden calf. But what made them to go away from the truth is that since the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world with a structure, Melech b'mishpat yamidoretz, just like a king establishes his land, his country, b'mishpat with justice. Now there is a president, and there is a vice president, there is a senate, and there is a congress, and there is municipalities, and there is a mayor, and there is a governor, and there is many bureaucratics set up. Now when I get a parking ticket, and I want to fix it, and I want to get a connection to the local judge who could put it away, I can't go right away to the president, hey, President Bush, take care of my ticket. It's absolutely stupid. It's not appropriate. They would throw me out. So you go to your superior. But as it's not so. Hashem really created the world to such a start. Hashem created the Mishpat. There is Malochim, there is angels, and there is Tzaddikim, and there is Goyim, and there is Yidin, and there is Sorim, and there is this, and there is that. There's a system here. But because there is a system, don't think for a moment that you could go to anyone and bypass Hashem. You could have direct access to Hashem. You could direct. If I get a parking ticket, first thing I'm talking right away to Hashem. And Hashem is so petty, he takes care of my parking ticket. How? This is his business. He knows how to take care. On the smallest issue, I speak direct to Hashem and I wouldn't speak to nobody else. But I go to somebody else because Hashem asked me to go, not because he's going to help me. When I need a favor, I'm sick, I'm getting pain, first thing I'm talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I go to the doctor. Why? Because he told me to go to the doctor. Hashem is my life. That's what it's Poshep Shat. Only to him you could talk, only to him you could pray. And in don't pray to anyone else. Why do you go to Tzadikim to getting brochas? Because Hashem says, you pray, and you make other people to pray to. I had a very great grandfather, my father's father, he was a great man. He died pretty young. He was right in the 50s, had a stroke. And he was a very great man. He was always a balubos. He had a factory. My brother used to feed the factory, but he was always learning at Talmidim. He had a big yeshiva, 70 Talmidim. He had a few yeshivas. She was always about the learning and everything. And the grandma, she ran they had a factory of seltzer, gazos, you know, they had a factory of soda. And in order to make money, to be competitive, you had to cheat on the sugar, and you had to mix the sugar with saccharin. And that was, saccharin was outlawed for some reason, and that was a black market. The black market, but everyone did it because you couldn't. If you had to put in sugar to everything, then you would lose your shirt. The competition didn't allow it, so you had to mix it. So there was a goyish competition which they informed on their factory that they use saccharin, use this thing, and all of a sudden they came and they made a hole, they locked up the whole thing, and then they started searching the whole factory for saccharin, and there was saccharin. There was. And in big panic, you know, so somebody ran to my grandfather. My grandfather was in the middle of learning, and he says, "In trouble! They closed up the whole factory. They're searching, and once they find the saccharin, they're gonna close up the factory, and your money, and everything." So, in a village not far away was the Spinker Rebbe. Was a big holy man. Was a rebbe, happened to be there. So immediately sent off somebody to the Spinker Rebbe. They got a brocha, you know, they shouldn't get in trouble. And Spinker Rebbe even gave a brocha. He was a very old man, that Spinker Rebbe was very old. He said, "Naim lehem v'layu, they have eyes they're not going to see." They say in the hollow. "Naim lehem, they have eyes they're not going to see." And Takahar it was, they went out of the tzor and said, everything was forgotten. It was a story. When my grandfather got sick, and he aged, and he got a white beard, so my father, Rambruch, came to visit him, and he gave him over. He says to him, "Adam," said to my father, "you see my white beard? You see how early I aged, how sick I am, how weak I am? You know why? You know why? I tell you why. There was 5 moments in my life I forgot from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I went to somebody else, and that caused me all my problems till today. I can't forgive it. You remember 10 years ago when the story was, when they made this the whole thing? And they came to me in a panic, and the first thing I went, I sent off to the Rebbe. First thing I should have gone to the wall and ask Hashem, and then go to the Rebbe. First you talk to Hashem, and then you go to the Rebbe." So he says, he couldn't find any other reason why Hashem aged him so early, he made him sick so early, only because 5 moments in his lifetime he forgot from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. that was, and he took it, he deserved it. That's Shiloh Levader, only to him you could pray. The first thing, the foremost which you do, now when a Jew panics, it's a proof that you're not connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We need a lifetime with that Hashem, like the summit. You have to have all with Hashem, you have to walk with Hashem. And that's again and again, repeat myself again, the pshat, what Shirashi says in the mitzvah, Tomim ti im Hashem alokecho. In Parsha Shoev, to be a whole with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, all heart with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is the mitzvah from Bitochen, to be totally aligned, walking with Hashem. In Zot Rashi, simple words, literally that's what we have to live. And this is this fifth animamin. His halech imoy betmimus. Just walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tmimus, all heartedly. With the tzapela, only look out for him. Only for him. But lo itach korachrasi, don't ask what's going to be. Why? Why should you ask? What's the difference? Hashem needs your approval? Why do you have to know what's going to be? Because you want to be in control. And Rashi says why. Don't ask what's going to be, why? No matter what is going to bring on you, just accept him. So when the person went to make this biopsy test, and I said, "I'm anxious." And by the way, the person, because I prepared him for that, he slept very good. He didn't lose a moment of worryness what's going to be, because he was willing, he was ready for all 3 of them. If he is not ready to die, if he could not accept the fact he's dying, and he would have been devastated, he would be devastated for the 3 days when he waited for the results. The minute he was fully prepared, he's willing to die if Shem wants this. He's willing to suffer for years if Shem wants this. And he's of course accepts to be healthy if Shem wants this. He had a good 3 days. And when he got the news, he got a day earlier news because it came earlier than expected. It was just Nothing. Uh-huh. It wasn't overly jubilant either, because it was ready for all three of them. Because you davening does not mean davening asking. Davening means relying. And therefore, the word davening in the Rambam is not even mentioned. The word davening in the Rambam is mentioned that the only one that you are soimech, that you depend on, is only Hashem. You don't depend on any other servants. You don't depend on any shtick. And therefore, in today's age, when there's some people run to mekubalim, to kabbalistim, with tzgulas, with all kind of superstitious mishigasim, okay? It's. I'm not saying there's nothing there if it's a dog, but from the viewpoint of the person who runs to them shows that you don't believe that you could go straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs servants, you need water, you need a red thread which in Kevaroch Hu, that's going to save you. Walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eret Mevara, that's going to save you. In a Mokom Skone, that you need Shmira, think about the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Nefesh HaChaim, B'chaim V'loshna said. You think Shmira, you need something to be saved in a dangerous place, that you're stuck in a car in Harlem. You know what you do? Ain't no father, nobody there, only Hashem. Hashem is here just like his Nebes HaMikdash. Hashem is not, it's just here watching me in Harlem, is watching you in the Mamzi. So what's the point? But when you get a certain coin, you set a certain red thread over there, Hashem is going to get scared of that. What are you doing with it? The question is, why come Tzadikim used to do it? There is a question about it, and the answer is, it's very simple. Tzadikim used to perform open miracles, but the world wasn't ready to see it, so they had to camouflage it into certain segulas, into certain, I don't know what is the English name of a segula, what would you say? Remedy? What is a segula? Could anyone have a translation for segula in English?
Charm?
No. Segula means some alternative remedy, which is spiritual remedy, and they put them into something. But actually, it's camouflage. It's yeah. Okay. Now we go to the sixth. We go to the sixth tikkun. An imam in Shlem should call the imam. It's also misquote from all the words of the prophet is true. Also, it means avada poshet that we don't doubt the words of the Nevi'im. All the credited Nevi'im. We have 48 Nevi'im, 48 prophets, which Hashem gave us, and 7 women prophets. And everything which they documented, of course, there was many more prophets. There was Kefran Kyotzman, there was 1,200,000 prophets in Sein Yerushalayim alone. However, there was, altogether, there was 55 accredited prophets, which they had the license to broadcast their prophecy. I would call it as simple as that. The license to talk. That was, you know, the 48 in the VM, in the 7 the VOIs, they had the right to do. So you have to believe who believe that the words of the prophet is all true. No question about it. That's it's written in the Siddur. But it's not really what the Rambam means to say. Of course it's true. Of course it's true. They have no doubts about it. They prove themselves anyhow. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Zayin, says the Rambam says, Misoidei Hadat, from the foundation of our religion is Lahamin, to believe, Shelokim medaber es bnei odam, that Hashem speaks to people. You have to know that you have been created by Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you have the quality and potential to speak to Hashem and to hear. The first one, the fourth one, which was the fifth one, was I could talk to Hashem. This palette, I could talk to Hashem. And the sixth one is Hashem could talk to you, and you could listen, you could have a communication with Kodesh Baruch Hu. So in this sense, you have to call all the stories about the prophets that Hashem made, spoke to prophets, is true. What is it relevant to you? Not because they didn't lie on you and you know what you're doing. But you have to know that you have the quality of become a prophet. In the Rambam says, what is the qualifications? That you have to disconnect it from the world, you have to become selfless, you have to serve Hashem, you have to go. The Rambam says, very beautiful, long, which is worthwhile to learn it. Perek Zayin, Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. And when you work it out, that thing, you're going to get a prophecy. Now, obviously today, none of us is worthy to be prophets, but when we're going to get in Tchias HaMeisim back, we're going to become prophets again, and one day you're going to speak to Kodesh Baruch Hu, just like you have the quality of that. That's called Tzelem Elokim, and that you have to believe. Now, the more expectations you have of yourself, that you know what your future potential is, the easier it is to invest in present life for this future dividends. If you know, if you learn the Rambam, and say, if you go through this and this and this homework, you become a prophet, you could talk to Hashem, Hashem talks to you. And you know, today I cannot do it because the world is not worthy for that, but no, Mashiach will come, we're going to become prophets. But I could start my homework to do that right now, I know who I am. And that's called, this is actually according in the Makor of the Rambam, of the sixth, and the Maram Shekol Divim Emes. Now comes the seventh, as yesterday we touched on the Nebuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Maram Yishnaim Shevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu Shon Moshe Amitis. The Nebuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was truth. Obviously it cannot be the Pshat as you can say that. The Nebuah didn't lie, Moshe also didn't lie. That doesn't make sense. And that would make a separate Arimami for that. Elamav, you have to say, the quality of the prophecy, the way Hashem spoke to the other prophet, is totally different than the quality of prophecy the way Hashem spoke to Moshe. And that's a special ikar, because we have a shaykhus, there are even a shaykhus with that. So Moshe Rabbeinu's quality of prophecy was totally different. The other prophets, the Rambam goes in length. Now, I will speak about the main two things where the difference is, and Icarus, I want to bring it down to us, that we have a certain shaykhus to the quality of Moshe Rabbeinu's quality. Of course, we have to recognize it. We have it. First of all, it's been told, we have Shiva Roim, we have the seven shepherds, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Han, Yosef, David. What is the seven shepherds? That means the seven shepherds, every one of them, we inherited every one of them their qualifications. From Avraham Avinu got the Midas HaChesed, Yitzchak got Midas Gevura, Yaakov got Midas Tiferes, the truth. Then Moshe got Netzach and Das and Hod and so on and so on. So Yosef, for everyone we got what we're supposed to get, that we got from every one of them. So Moshe is Das. And everyone has a Moshe in himself. Everyone has a part of Moshe in himself. We have to know this. And the Baruch Tanya says very beautiful on the Gemara. The Pesuk says, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyer Me'imach. Moshe Rabbeinu says to us, what does Hashem want from you? All he wants, Kim Le'ir, all he wants is your fear. All he wants is fear me, fear God. That's all what you want. As the Gemara, all the Yidam is feeling out such a small thing. That's all what you want. That's everything. What is that all you want? And says the Gemara, and yes, the Gabi Moshe misses it. The Gabi Moshe is a small thing. But Moshe is a small thing. And therefore, yes, talking like what? But that's not an answer. Moshe speaks to me. Moshe is an educator. You can't say the Gabi Moshe because to him it's nothing. Tells by you is also nothing. What is the answer? So the Balatanya, yes, and yes, the Gabi Moshe didach, you also have Moshe in you. We all have qualifications of Moshe Rabbeinu. And what is Moshe? Moshe is Das. Moshe is knowledge. What did Moshe give us, which Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov didn't give us? Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov gave us Amuna, gave us belief. Moshe gave us knowledge, Atorei Selodas. And every person, when he takes his Amuna, which he believes, that's the basics, and becomes so internalized, it becomes Das, becomes actual awareness. That's the real Amuna Shlema, as we explained yesterday. The difference between Amuna Shlema. Then everything is easy. You could fear God. You could fear God. Because would you put your hand into the oven? Would anyone, you see an oven, you see a hot oven, 300 degree, 400 degree heat. Would you put in your hand? You know, you'd be petrified. So why can I do Avera? Yet you're putting yourself in Gehenna, which is hotter than 300 degree. I believe it, but I don't see it. I don't know it. You don't see it. You know it. You believe it, but you don't. The knowledge is not aware. The Gabi Moshe didoch, Moshe, what Moshe presents, different than all the Nevi'im, the other Nevi'im, in order to make a communication with Hashem, Hashem should speak, they have to conch out. There was still a personality, a physical personality to themselves, which they couldn't totally melt and to perceive the absolute truth as they don't exist. And they really had to conch out. They had to go to an epileptic situation. They really fainted out, as the Rambam said. They became simply dehumanized. They conked out. They became epileptic. That's what they become. Moshe Rabbeinu was standing firmly with his body, with his wisdom as a human being, like a husband speaks to his wife. And he was speaking to Hashem like a wife speaks to her husband. It didn't have to. Why? Because the Das, the awareness of Moshe, was so eternalized. That was a reality that his physical body was not standing in his way. And to a certain extent, we have this gene in ourselves. eventually we're going to be that. Because in Tchias HaMeisa we have to believe, this is one of the beautiful concepts, this is Machloikas the Rambam, in the Ramban, to what extent it go, to when, to what time it's going to go. We're not going to get into the issue, that's not our issue to decide now. Is Tchias HaMeisa a temporary thing or it's a permanent thing? And there's different opinions. The Rambam says it's a temporary thing. In the permanent world, there's no body. And the Rambam says, no, the body carries over even the permanent world. What does it mean? Just like we today, we could accept and believe and know that my soul could connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I could hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my soul-wise. But my body should be as affected as the soul. It's impossible. But Chis HaMeisim, the body will be just as the soul. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't buried by nobody, only by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Nobody saw the grave. Moshe Rabbeinu's grave is not known. Why? Because there was no body. The body and the soul was the same thing. It's a very beautiful medrash. It's a beautiful medrash. And it came the time for Moshe Rabbeinu to die. So Hashem wouldn't send the regular Malach HaMoves, the angel of death. Not appropriate, Moshe Rabbeinu, dignified Moshe, that he should do the job like he does on everyone else. So send the most dignified Malochim, Gabriel, Michal, the nicest Malochim, that she's bring back Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama. And they refused to go. So Hashem, we don't want to start off with Moshe Rabbeinu. Please, don't give us this job. You know, we don't want this job. So they refused. So Hashem had no choice, whatever that means. We don't understand. So Hashem had to send the Malachim over. So Malach was very happy. He was waiting for that. He's doing the real job now. So he came to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe, I'm a messenger of Hashem. The time came that I have to take you in the Shomer to bring it back. So you're the messenger. I'm also a messenger of Hashem. Why should I listen to you? You should listen to me. The kids of Moshe Rabbeinu beat up the Malach HaMoves and blinded him. And he hardly saved his life. He ran off. He came back Hashem blinded. He said, look what he did to me. I hope he's blind till today. He should never find us. And says, look what he did to me. So nobody's willing to snatch Moshe's neshama. So Hashem had to do it himself. It's a medrash. So Hashem spoke to Moshe, says the nishmas Moshe, says neshama. The time came to come back. Please come back. Leave Moshe's body and come back. So Hashem says, Hashem, it's so wonderful being this body. I don't want to leave. I want to stay here. Refuse to leave Moshe's body. What's the pshat? He says, where should I go? Back to you? I'm by you. In Moshe's body, I'm by you. Moshe is a Ish Elokim. That's what I'm trying to. Moshe was so refined, his body. He was 120 days in heaven, not eating, not drinking. And he was with his body in heaven fighting Malochim. That means the Das Moshe, the awareness which we have, had totally made his body totally synthesized to this Das. And we also have the ability eventually to have this experience. This is called the Nevuah of Moshe, different than the other prophets. The other prophets couldn't carry on with the body completely and speak to Hashem. They had to conk out. Moshe didn't have to conk out. So what did Hashem do with Moshe? The Shema doesn't want to leave Moshe Rabbeinu. So Hashem went and he kissed Moshe Rabbeinu. And by the kiss, when the Shema felt the kiss of Hashem, he departed. It's called Misa Neshika. That's the Zohar HaKodesh. A death of a kiss. Death of a kiss. So I'm concluding, because this is not our subject, but we've mentioned many times Rabbi Akiva, how Rabbi Akiva died. So Rabbi Akiva is the opposite of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Akiva, when he was asked, Rabbi, this is what you deserve, and he died, and he said, Shema Atum Shem Shem Echad. Zohar HaKodesh says in the Pesuk Shir HaShirim, which is appropriate in Pesach to learn Shir HaShirim, say Shir HaShirim, Asher Shoyim, Shekeinu Menishi Kois Pihu. Shem kiss us from the kiss of your mouth. Means to say, Hashem brings it down, that Mamet Asfina, we heard Hashem direct speaking to us directly, without angels, without anyone. We had a direct contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a kiss. So Hashem brings that difference is a kiss from a person, kiss somebody on the forehead, kiss somebody on the hand, kiss somebody on the cheek. If somebody kiss somebody on the mouth, it's a different kiss. Why? So the Zohar HaKadosh Baruch Hu means shikois, a double kiss. So because his kiss in the mouth is a double kiss. You get a kiss, you return the kiss. You kiss somebody on the hand, it's a kiss. It's not a double kiss. Like kissing in the mouth, you get a kiss and you return a kiss. So I said, Moshe Rabbeinu got a kiss from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who gave back the kiss? Rabbi Akiva. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav Akiva didn't die by Kisuf HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand the death of Rav Akiva. The Gemara tells us Moshe Rabbeinu saw the death of Rav Akiva. Shesolkes Besura Mesreka Shabazah, they tortured him to death. He yelled and screamed, Rav Akiva, Zu Tari, Zu Schorai. He didn't understand. So Hashem said, be quiet. You can't understand. But Hakam, when people saw the death of Rav Akiva, they didn't see Hashem kissing him. But they saw Rav Akiva kissing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Kol Yom HaYitzvah, he should have the opportunity to demonstrate Malof HaKadosh Baruch Hu under these circumstances. And what happened is that Shemat Hashem Echad, Yotzeh Nishmos Avechad, Nishmos went up, he unified with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem came to unify himself to Moshe. Rav Akiva came and unified himself to Moshe. That's, so the Zohar HaKadosh, she came and she caused two kisses. The Knesset is a chosen color. The kiss which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us, that was through Moshe Rabbeinu. The kiss which the color gives back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rav Akiva. So the Ruge Malchus, tragedies, torture, you might say Mashiach, what you're going through, and that completes the Zivuk. Now we're going to the Cheder Yichud, that's already with Mashiach. So Moshe Rabbeinu was this type of a Nevuah, which eventually we're going to be able to have the same experience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're going to be able to, the body and the soul, make the total reunion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other thing which is very important for us, which we touched a little bit of, all the other Nevi'im, now, it's very important to understand this Rambam, because it's Ikra Muna. When a Novi comes, Yishai Novi comes to me, a Novi comes, accredited Novi comes to us, and he gives us a prophet, gives us an order, like Eliyahu Novi. Eliyahu Novi came and said, you should be Makriv the Korban on Har Carmel. That's what we'll be about. That's against the Torah. It's a heroic show, but at that moment, it's against the Torah. Shlomo Melech, when we inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash, Mechnikas HaMizbech, Mechnikas HaBeis HaMikdash, he abolished Yom Kippur. He celebrated for 8 days, if I remember well, for 8 days, they made a big Suda, the 8 big Sudas, and Yom Kippur was in the middle of them, and Yom Kippur, there was no fasting. It's Minavur, so it's a prophecy. It's a credited prophecy here, Shaloinu, whoever the world, Minashamayim, says, we are now abolishing Yom Kippur. This means, a Novi has the koyach to tell you an order from heaven, temporary, only for this time. You can never change anything forever. They can't change Torah, but at this time, you could. I don't want you to fast and keep it on it, that's a Navur. Why do we believe him? Because he's a Novi. Why do we believe a Novi? A Novi has the same belief as we believe two witnesses. Two witnesses. Apnishna Edem Yokum Dova. It's a great sakosif. When two people come to me, Reuven Shimon comes to me, this man married this woman is a Ishesish. And if she cheated her husband, we kill both. Why? Based on these two men, what they had said. Is this an absolute guarantee? But the witnesses said, is absolute truth? No. It's a greatest accursive, you have to accept. It's not a knowledge. It's, do you believe the Torah? The Torah rules, the Torah says that there's two Adam coming to me. I have to accept. It's. I could even be aware, I could even think, like I mentioned 2 days ago, yesterday, if two Adam come to me and it says to me, I never married my wife, they say, get lost. Right? If they go to a Beis Din, I'm in trouble, because the person has to accept the Eidos. I can't stand up against two Eidim. For me, when they tell it to me, it says, I don't listen to you. I do whatever I know. I know better than you people. But I didn't discredit them. It's very interesting. We're not going to Eidim. It's a whole Xeris HaKosis. Eidos, same thing. All the simonim of Nevuah, for all the Nevi'im, which is the sixth one, Shekol Divrei Nevi Emes, all the Nevi'im which they were, they were Nevi'im, as we believe in Eidim, in the testimonies of Eidos. And does not mean 100% it has to be, but it has to be, because Hashem tells it it has to be. And I don't care if it was or not. I go according to Eidim. We can't have it any other way. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevu is totally different. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a Novi because he went through the test and the proof of the simonim of a Novi, as everyone Novi else, like Eidos. We were witnesses to the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Entire Am Yisrael witnessed the way Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a total different Nevuah. Like if you call on everyone, you will see the way I'm speaking to you. So that's a das. That's not because I believe, but because the Torah made exeris, of course you have to accept, regardless if you like it or not, if you believe it or not, you have to accept. I can go against myself. We all witness Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. So we have to have this also in us, when we look at Torah's Moshe, that we were once testifying for this truthness. comes the eighth animam, animam v'shleim shel kol tov mitziato v'deinu sinu moish v'enu v'sholem. You have to believe the entire Torah which you have in our hands today, from Torah Shevikzav to Torah Shevalpeh, in all the Chachmei Ador, the present Das Torah which you have, who rule according to you, who have the accreditation to be Poiskim Ador, we ask him, this is the Torah which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kol ma she'talmid vasig osel ischadesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah. So you have to understand, when you are ruled by Poiskim, whatever rules exist, this is the ruling of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rochel Moshe Mesinai, this was all given to Moshe, and therefore you have to, because if the minute you start doubting the present Torah which you have, because you have so many generations away, and so many machloikas and everything, that maybe as the Reform rabbis, many other things, I think there's disconnected from Torah's Moshe, you lost your roots. You lost your roots. Our entire greatness is that our present existence here is just as valid and just as solid as the original generation who heard Hashem speaking in Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu interpreting. Now, the question is, how can you be so sure? First of all, that's the faith. The answer is, it's even surer today than it was then. Even surer today than it was then. I'm not going to go into the length where we speak in secular seminars. If you want to take a logical approach, a rationalization, who is more guaranteed of the truthness of the entire Torah? Our generation or the original generation received it? What would you say? Our generation. Because the original generation, I hate even to repeat what they want to say. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was a real big con man, and you know, people were started the Muslims coming out of Mitzrayim, and he gave them a diet, man, you know, but mine was coke, was marijuana, was LSD, and they put him in a high, and they talked to him, they heard, and they made him see visions, they made him see Sinai, they made him see, they carried them away, they locked them up, they brainwashed them, they kept them. That was like a commune with a guru, you could take anything, what you want. People want to say that today. People do saying it today. People saying that today. That's not such a proof. I mean, take Muslims out of the blink of Auschwitz, who have, they were 5 years in camps, and take them out and lock them up and feed them and put a little drugs into the food. You could sell them anything you want. They're believing in anything. They're going to do anything what you want. Who says? And Moshe Rabbeinu comes and interprets them the Torah and gives them the Torah. He says, what is the Safta Mezuzah? So Mezuzah is this. Take a parchment, write them this and this. Who says? Who says? But the Torah says that you're going to go into exile, you're going to go dispersed all around the world, you're going to become very few, you're going to be eliminated, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be killed, and you're going to be all around, spread around all around the world, with Teshmatic, it's you're going to be for every part of the world. And with everything, when this is happening, it's almost impossible the Torah shouldn't be forgotten. It's impossible the Torah Shebal Peh shouldn't be forgotten. And I guarantee you, and I swear to you, the Torah is never going to be forgotten. And I guarantee to say for you. So we're 2,000 years in exile. And we have one person in the Torah. Safta mezuzah sal besechu. Write the mezuzah on your plate. What is a mezuzah? Torah Shevikzav. Torah Shevikzav? No. Come Torah Shevikzav. What is a mezuzah? What we have on our door. How many halachos goes into mezuzah? Should be kosher. Close to 5,000 halachos. Every letter has about a dozen halachos. How it should be written. It's all Torah Shevikzav. And the tefillin, what is a tefillin? Torah Shebal Peh. Over 30,000 halachos in a tefillin. A few million halachos in a Sefer Torah. With 2,000 years in exile, there's still two things today which is as original as it was 2,300 years ago. It's safras, how to make a mezuzah. A Torah, we still have a feather and a parchment. You can't print them, you can't duplicate them, you can't do anything, you have to write them. You have to take into consideration 4,700 some halachos in a mezuzah to make a kosher mezuzah. You need 30,000 halachas to take consideration to make a kosher tefillin. And a sofa, to be a sofa, you have to be accredited by a teacher, technically, the doing the skills, plus the halachas. There's a lot of halachas. Shechita, shechting. What is shechita? Zichah. It's all Torah Shebal Peh. How do you shecht the chalaf? Has to be in a shalim, so and so. You could so easily cheat. You easily tarf a whole cow. You lose a whole animal for little in carelessness. And we are 2,000 years in exile. And 200 years ago, we didn't know the Yemenite Jews even existing, and we definitely didn't marry them, we have not no business with them, we never knew each other. We totally dispersed all around the world, and everyone has his own prosecution and killing and burning and Torah and everything. They burned out Torah and they baptizing everything we had. And they tried to uproot us, and everything in the Torah which prophesies is going to be have been materialized. after 2,000 years of getting together, and the Yemenite Jew takes up his mezuzah, and the Hungarian Jew takes up his mezuzah, is the same Torah Shabbat Peh, the same tefillin, and the same mikveh, and the same shechito, and the same this. Is this logical? Is that natural? Is this LSD? is this drugs? That this Torah which was given by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah tells us the future, and the Torah says, but the Torah was not, sheshochach Torah mepinu zarezach umar Hashem. So it's much easier for me today to say, shekola Torah shem tzu ato bedeim, that's the lotion of Siddur, the Torah which we have today, and the hu hanesuna, this is the exact same Torah which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. And I'm more convinced of my Torah in my today's time than in that is Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, than the people who were standing there. Because the people who were standing there don't get shocked. There was a koirach who denied them while they were standing there. In the Midbar, there was a koirach, and he took 250 Rosh Hashanah with him, 250 leaders took with him. And the other people don't think they didn't doubt. They maybe didn't participate. They stood on the side. There was a big confusion. What is the confusion? Hashem gives us a little Torah, a book, and you're making mountains of requests and requirements. Who said that you, as Rav Korach said, you bought them a liver, you took it from your heart? Yeah, but if Korach stands today, he will tell me this, Mishugas me today, he says, Korach, how do you think survive for 3,300 years? Obviously, Moshe is right. So the moon of today is even stronger than the moon in the time of the Midbar. We wouldn't make a golden calf anymore. We wouldn't be a Korach anymore. Prove it. Because they wanted it, they want us not to keep Torah in the concentration camps, and we kept Torah over there. Comes to the ninth animamin. This Torah which we have today never going to be changed, never going to be modified, never going to be any other Torah. You know, the Christianity, Bris HaChadosh, the new Testament. what is talking? What? They didn't contest the Old Testament. It's true, but there's a new. But the Torah says they're never going to be. The Torah says, I had once an occasion, I had a debate with somebody in the plane, I couldn't avoid him for politeness, he just bothered me too much. He was a very devout Christian. So he says, I believe in it, I suspect he's religious Jews, he believe this and believe that. He says, if you believe, so how come you don't fulfill it? But you know, there's changes in the New Testament, but the Torah, but you believe, says there cannot be a new one. The Torah says, if anyone's going to add, they're going to subtract anything, it's wrong. And he was shocked when I told him that Moses was Moses, right? He says, we've been expecting a Mashiach to come. Imagine a Mashiach is coming, and he will duplicate everything that Moshe had done. A Mashiach will come, he will duplicate everything that Moshe Rabbeinu had done, that all the prophets had done. He will take the world and play ping pong with it, and he will do everything, and he will make it, will open up your ears, and you're going to hear God speaking to you. Everything is amazing. Everything. What you could imagine, which is going to be, and it's happening. And all of a sudden, that Mashiach tells us there is only one change in the Torah, that this word is wrongly spelled. You have to re-spell it in a different way. Say, goodbye, you're not my Mashiach, get lost, I go back to the concentration camps, I don't need you. This is how I'm going. That nothing will be changed, not one mitzvah is going to be changed, not kutasar, kolokoyvu kutashiyud. Are you proof to me? I don't care for your proofs. What if for 3,300 years we witnessed everything? And this Torah which you witness, it's true, says there cannot be any changes and will not be any changes. Now, why wouldn't there be any changes? Because if the changing Torah means they're like a change Hashem. And we go back to this foolish, stupid scientific question. It's such a stupid scientific question, which probably you heard it many times. Can God create a mountain which he cannot lift? You ever heard this? Can God create a stone which he cannot lift? Right. What is the answer? It's the same question. Can God destroy himself? Can God destroy himself? Why don't you ask this question? God could do everything, so can he destroy himself? And the answer is no, because God is. He isn't. There's no such a thing being a godless world. There's no godless existence. There's no such a thing. The essence of him is he is. Torah is him. He is. Torah cannot be changed. If you would say something changes in Torah, it's like you change, you eliminate God. Huva chokhmosa, that's the meaning, the deeper sense the Maral says, when that the Rambam says, Huva chokhmosa echo, the Torah Hashem in the chokhm is him. Chokhm is Hashem, is Torah is him. Rotzen Hashem mitzvah is him. And if you say Hashem changed his mind, means Hashem eliminated himself. Hashem is a whole, it's not shaykh changing. There is such a thing as a temporary change. Revuah. like the fasting or not eating on Kippur v'shlem melech, v'har kalman, because this, that's Hashem says, that's the local Moshe Messina, that's the Nevuah, because we live in times, so we have to represent Hashem, we have to fix the world, cure the world, and Hashem is allowing us to do certain things. You know what it is? It's sometimes when a person goes through a heart transplant, you know, they sometimes they take out the heart, they hook him into some machine which takes the place of the heart, it's actually technically almost dead, and they work on the heart and then they place him back. It's a temporary thing. When you take a part of Torah and violate, it's a temporary violation, you make working on it, but then you have to put them back. But a permanent change means a permanent change in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no permanent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not change his mind. Yes?
There was a Gemara in it, and in the days of Mashiach, all the mitzvot will become batel. Except for
how does that fit into this? Okay.
I'm excited to say, no, we don't have to fulfill the mitzvot.
The answer is, how was the mitzvot there before the world was created? The Torah was there 2,000 years before the world creation. In the simplest thing to make it in a nutshell, okay, there's dark room here, right? The dark room here, and lighting up a candle. I made a mitzvah. It gave you light, right? And then the sun shines up, you go out. You see the light of the candle in the sunshine?
No.
You bottle? No. It's there, but you don't see it. When Mashiach will come, the mitzvah is all going to be there in a form of existence, but it's not going to have an impact on us. Because the mitzvah made so it should have an impact on us in this world. Now, the mitzvah is but we're in the physical dark world, in the physical body. So the Torah is a process, the mitzvah which we practice is a process that we synthesize our body into the neshama, that one day the neshama and the body is going to be one. But once the neshama and the body is one, I'm speaking in the luminary of the Neherim, Ziva Shechina, the mitzvahs technically are there, but they don't express themselves. The only thing she will express himself is Tisha B'Av and Purim. But we discovered Hashem in the darkness. That's going to express himself there, but that's a different issue. I thought you were going to ask a question, so Mashiach will come, then the chazit, the pork, will be kosher. Right? You're going to be able to the chazit. In essence, it's not a change. Because the Torah says why chazit cannot be changed, because he's a mafresis pastor in a malagero. And that the nature will change. He's malagero. Finish. If Hashem could make changes in nature, which changes the process of the mitzvah, but the mitzvah is always a mitzvah of Hashem. The Sentani Maman is, now that we feel that we are so important, Hashem is involved in our life. Hashem is involved creating our body, as we spoke yesterday, creating our neshama. And every split second, Hashem has a whole creation in it. And Hashem is speaking every split second to us continuously. So if you understand why Hashem has a reason in it, can Hashem avoid that reason? Can Hashem disregard it? No. He says, oh, I'm lenient, you know, I'm a veteran. How do you call veteran in English? I'm a forgiving. What? Lenient. There's no such a thing. Hashem is designing it. Everything is so important. Hashem knows everything which we do. And everything which we think. Hashem creates all our hearts and understands all our deeds. We're not going to go into detail because it's very interesting. The Siddur is bringing the other pasuk which the Rambam is bringing. There's a whole theory on it, but it's not the time for that. But you have to say, Kushbach, what does he knows? Of course he knows. Hashem supervises it. Hashem gets the benefit of it. We are pushing, as I would say in the simplest matter, simplest marshal today, I claim the world is one big computer, one big hardware. That's the world. The software is the Torah. Who wrote the software? Hashem. Shulchan Aruch is the instruction how to operate the computer. And we have been chosen to be the data processors. Whatever you do, you're pushing a button. And when you push a button on the computer, you push A, you command it, doesn't mean you get an A. You get a whole program, whatever the software demanded. And the printout is somewhere else. How could it be avoided? How could it be non-interested to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he made me, he made the computer, he made the software, he activates the whole thing, he loaded the whole thing, he brings me under the circumstances, and I'm making a move, do this and that. It should be, okay, I don't care, big deal, you're kosher, nish kosher, what a big deal, what's a big deal? You're there. And therefore comes the 11th one, because Baruch Hu rewards those who keep his mitzvahs. Shabbat is Baruch Shemai, Goyim El Tev Shem Mitzvah, he rewards those who keep the mitzvahs. Man, Nishan, punish us, who really not punishment, says the Merab. The minute I believe that the world, the activities of the world, is a loaded computer and is a cause and effect. So the Rambam says, the Maral says, there's no punishment. The being suffer is not the cause of punishment, it's a cause and effect. If you jump off the Empire State Building and you die, it's not because you have been punished, it's a cause and effect. If you jump, you have to die. It doesn't go any other way. That's the fact how it goes. And that you have to believe, so therefore, you have to continuously believe that what you do brings the result, good or bad. That's again an ikar that you continuously have to live, because all of a sudden you see you're always sitting in front of a loaded computer. You never take things easy. Of course, there's basics which you must do, there's basics which you're not allowed to do, and there's certain areas that's gray. Okay, don't be involved, you could be passive, but then you're non-productive. Then you're non-productive. Is a chosid mischasidim koin. I do more than you have to do. If you machine, so then you want to be fully productive. You want to come in, you Hashem granted you 99 years to live. You don't want to come with 50 year production. You want to give 99 year production. Avizom Zokim Boba Yom, Avizom came with all his days. He delivered everything that Hashem has to give him. Now comes the 12th one. An imam in the Shneim Shavuos HaMashiach, believe in the coming of the Mashiach. Even he's delayed, im kol ze hakol, even then I'm waiting for him. But again, it's not properly emphasized. Just like there's an ikar to know Mashiach is coming. Why is that the ikar? Every split second you have to know Mashiach. Why? You know, forgive me the expression, a pregnant woman who suffers because she's pregnant, how can she tolerate him? Because she's expecting a birth. If a man would have the symptoms of a pregnancy, he would go mashuga, he would go bananas, right? Because he doesn't expect to give birth to a baby. If you don't expect to give birth to a baby, you cannot take the pain of pregnancy. We're going through pains, pregnancy pains. Why? Coming of Mashiach. The minute you don't believe in coming of Mashiach, you don't know what you're suffering for, you finish. You have to understand everything which is revolving in personal life, in collective life, Klal Yisrael's life, everything is leading up to the birth of Mashiach. And therefore, the second part of that mitzvah is, it's not enough just to believe in it, but you have to wait for him. And that's a big yisod in the Rambam, which most people don't know. It's not enough just to believe in coming of Mashiach, but you have to be this moment, please, I'm waiting for you. Why? And according what you wait for, that's what you're going to get. The Balagola was promised that he's going to be in Gan Eden. He did a big mitzvah, and he's going to be in Gan Eden. He did a big Rebbe, promised him Balagola is going to be in Gan Eden, he's guaranteed Gan Eden. And the Chosid came to the Rebbe, said, the Balagola is a prostak. He did a big mitzvah, grabbed his Gan Eden. I all my life I'm working, they don't promise me Gan Eden. Where is fairness? He says, of course you're going to get Gan Eden. So you know what he's going to get in Gan Eden? You're going to come again into the Balagola, what do you want? He says, they had two skinny horses, the hardest slept. Over left, they got 10 white, fiery horses with a nice wagon and things. And they're going to give it to him. He's going to get to, and he's going to enjoy his Gan Eden. He got Gan Eden, he got what he wanted. He got what you waited for. You're waiting for something else. If you don't know what you're waiting for Mashiach, if all you're waiting for Mashiach to take care of your debts and to make your shirach and to work out your shalom bayis and everything, okay, you got to get it. This is what you want Mashiach for. You want Mashiach that you want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, want to fulfill all 630 mitzvahs. I want to be Moshe Rabbeinu. I want to talk to Hashem as Moshe Rabbeinu talk. Lehen HaMiziv HaShechina. So what is presently relevant for my preparation Mashiach is that why I'm waiting, what I'm waiting for, and what you're waiting for, that you're going to get. You may get more, you're definitely going to get more, but you're not going to enjoy it because it's not yours. You're going to be overly utilized. Of course you're going to get more. They all dance at the chasana. They're all eating the same caterer, but are we all enjoying it the same way? Of course not. The parents of the Chosin Kala has a totally different relationship, and the close friends, the close of Yah. We're all going to be at the banquet with Mashiach, with everything with Moshe Rabbeinu, but how much will you be there? How much mechutin will you be there, whatever you waited for him today? If you have a deep waiting for him, you're going to be deep. You're going to be really involved with him. And therefore, the Rambam says in Yad HaChazok in the Halacha, call me she'ein amam, and somebody doesn't believe in coming of Mashiach. Or he says, he does believe, but the Eidim HaChakal doesn't wait for him. Not only he doesn't going to get what in this Nevuah, but the entire, the whole Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu he denies. So waiting for, what? How can you? Well, most of us, I have this problem. I believe in him and I don't wait for him to happen. Because I'm waiting for different reasons. Right? The way to feel. The stock market is good, the shalom bayis is good, and everything is good, the children have nachas. No, we believe in it, but he could wait if he has to wait. He could come after vacation. In trouble, they'll be waiting for it. They're waiting to bail us off in our trouble. Waiting if Sean of us, we can show in Calvinia. What, want to get 10 horses? That's what they want to get. So, therefore, one of the questions is Hashem is not presenting Mashiach because we don't wait for the right Mashiach. We don't wait for the right Mashiach, wait for wrong reasons. And finally, the whole system which we just went through is one. So what is the end goal of the whole Amuna? The 12 steps that we just had, the 12 steps, is coming to the 13th, which is a Chod, which is one. Here's some Eishim that I'm resurrecting myself. If I'm going through the path of this 12th Ikri Amuna, that's what I'm going to be over there. Whatever I lack, I'm not going to. If you don't believe in one of them, he said, you cut off. As the Koitzer, you mean the Koitzer's Benetir, says the Rambam, we learned it the first day. Terrible language the Rambam says. The Rambam says, if anyone believes, we're going to repeat, conclude with this. If anyone believes in this 13 principle, without those Gomer, let's speak inside, that's going to be the conclusions of the Rambam Azai. I'd like to lead inside. So the Rambam, when he concluded the 13 principles, after Tzir Sameisim, when a man will believe these foundations, all of them, when it's it has been clarified, this belief in it, that he believes in all of them, he is considered a Jew. Who is a Jew? The one who believes that, you know, some years ago, 20, 30 years ago, it was a big issue, me Yehudi, who is a Jew? Who is a Jew? And make all theological... The one who believes absolutely in the 13 principle. It means it's relevant to every moment. That every day, anytime it's being stopped, what are you doing here? I'm working on Tzitzis HaMeisim. What I'm wasting today, that's what I have. That's what I'm doing here. Imagine intensive care in a hospital, you hooked up all kinds of machinery and all surrounded. What are you doing here? I'm saving life. I want to be healthy. Whatever it's done is for that purpose. We're here in this world, the incubator, we all work on Tzitzis HaMeisim. So if anyone who believes that, he's Israel. What is Israel? Who is going to be in Olam Habo? What is the rest of mankind? They have no Olam Habo. They don't have the eternal world. They have Olam Habo, a different Olam Habo, the temporary Olam Habo, till the end of the 6,000 years, but they don't have the eternal world. Umitzvah lahava, therefore you have to love him, because you're going to be with him. He's a part of you. You're one with him. He's one with God. You're one with God. But lerachem olam, if you have to mercy on him, the solution for Rambam. You have to call Mashiach Shulvach Ishlach. You have to conduct with him everything. The Sani Reacho, it's Sheker, Reacho, Reacho, it's called Reacho. You have to be. The Tzafila also Mashiach Yochum in Averis. Even he sinned. He transgressed Averis. He did. Machmasa Taiva, because of pleasure. Or his Gabri Sateva Gru, he overruled his terrible midas. For any of this, Hunenish Kefichatov, he's going to be punished. You're not going to get away. We say Hashem is not punished, that's resolved. Hashem is cured. Since you have to live forever, Hashem is investing in you. So, but we go through Yisurim pain, it's a cure system. Hashem is curing us. Even if it's a Pasha Yisrael, but Yesh Lachelik Arimabo. There's a question, Yesh Lachelik Arimabo. Zog the Rambam. Kishenikau keel odam yisod meile soides. If one of this foundation has been damaged, you doubt in one of the 13 principles, doesn't matter which one, anyone. If you doubt one of them, if you don't believe that you have a shaykh of the Nevuah Moshe, as we said, it's a 13 principle. Harayotza min haklal, he went out from the system. The kofar ve'iker denied the horn. If you don't await for Mashiach, I don't need him. Well, he could stay. He went out, the kofar ve'iker, the nikra min v'apikoyis, he's considered a mean, and a heretic apoyis, atheist. The Koitzes Benetius, he chopped off his roots. Explained that every one of us is rooted. Hashem Chai Olam Nota Bekosh Boch, who had planted us. We are rooted in this ground. We're working, what are we working for? Tchis HaMeisim. The minute you doubt one of the 13, you Koitzes Benetius, he chopped off his roots. Mitzvah L'Sonna Ula Abdai, says the Rambam. Terrible words. It's a requirement you should hate that person, you should destroy the person. If somebody openly says, denies one of the 13 principles, I don't believe in this, I don't want to have to do with this, I don't acknowledge that, you have to destroy him. He's a mumma lahachas. Because he hates Hashem. For all of Neman, on this man says the David American Pesuk, Halo misanecho Hashem esno. Those who hate you, Hashem, I hate them. Those who stand up against you, are going to fight them. Tachlis sino senesim, I hate them with all hatred. Lo oivim hoiv, they're my enemies, says Hashem, says David HaMelech. Why? Because the only thing which Avraham Avinu discovered, which Hashem didn't have for 20 generations, Hashem, I created such a beautiful world, such a beautiful man, you're my partner, and I want a relationship with you, and I build you up for Tchias HaMesim, and I gave you freedom of choice in order you should become a self-made person, and you walked out on me. And you don't care about me. And nobody cared about him. And even Noach didn't care about the Kodesh Baruch. Noach cared that the world shouldn't get destroyed. He was a tzaddik, but he didn't give himself back to Hashem. Kulam machisim l'ponim. The old 20 generation angered the Kodesh Baruch. Why did he get Hashem angry? So I created the world and I gave him freedom of choice. So you benefit. You did it for the wrong way. Came Avraham Avinu. What was he? Was the first maimim. What did he believe? He believed, Hashem, I give myself back to you. I take on myself, willing to pay any price in this world here, to go through all the suffering to die, just to give you back the man, the eternal man which you created, to give you nachas ruach. I, that's Avraham Avinu, said, mischasadim koi, the chesed HaKodesh Baruch Hu. So therefore, that's my only explanation. The Rambam says, when a person denies one of the certain beliefs, means he's a dead Jew. If a dead Jew, you killed. Now, imagine you have a very loving father. You have siblings, have a lot of good brothers. And one kid is miserable, and is crazy, and is arrogant, and he wants to commit suicide. Do you hate this kid? So why do you care, let him commit suicide? But you love your father. Your father lost his child. Says, how can you do it for your father? How can you run away from your father? If you don't care about yourself, don't care about... How many people say, I wouldn't mind to be dead, I can't do it just because...
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגדי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגדי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגדי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@hl.com.